Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Master, for the ministry of the word. Thank you, Lord. Your people have come and we want to silence our hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. There are many kings that we see in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. And when you read these books, it's kind of spread out, scattered. But once you know the overview, then it becomes very clear. And yesterday we had a servant of God teaching about Old Testament survey. And some of the people in our church attended it. And I'm sure they were blessed. And looking at the Old Testament, there were many kings. There are 20 kings in Judah. And there were some good kings, there were some not so good kings, there were some kings who were terrible. But Josiah happens to be one of those good kings. It was prophesied about him, and he came to rule as the 16th king of Judah. And let's read about him. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verse 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. How many years was Josiah when he became king? How many years? 8 years. Anybody 8 years old here? 8 years? Younger than, less than 8 years? All older than 8 years. Yeah, very good. So Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And the Bible says that he reigned for 31 years. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. The many kings who did not do right, the many kings who did right in the sight of the Lord, and when the Lord blessed them, their heart became proud and they went back. So that's why I say they're not the many good kings, some not good kings, but some kings were not so good, meaning good in the beginning, and when the Lord blessed, towards the end they turned away from the Lord. But this king did right in the sight of the Lord. And it says, he walked in the ways of his father David. He walked in the ways of his father David. Actually, his father David was like 16 generations before. 16 or 18 also. He had Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam. You know, in that line, 16th is Josiah. So, David is, you know, very, very, very great grandfather. But his father and grandfather, we look at it. What is it? How did Josiah do this at such an early age? How is it that Josiah, at age 8, or you know, in his teens, at a very early age, how is it that he walked in the ways of his father David, and how is it that he did things right? I like to extend my imagination. As a little boy, school, college, I observed things around me. I observed things in my own family. And I said, look, I will not follow the ways of my brothers. I will follow the ways of one of my brothers, Paul, you know. And I think when this little boy, he was about 6 years old, his grandfather passed away. You know, his grandfather, his name is Manasseh. And his grandfather actually became a king when he was just 12 years old. And he reigned for 55 long years. And the Bible says he was a terrible king. He was a terrible thing. Chapter 33 lists the things that he did. If you turn one chapter behind, look at the things that he did. And I believe this little boy, as age 6, as age 8, he would have heard about his father, heard about the grandfather. You know, being a king is not easy. Suddenly you're given a responsibility. You look back to see what your parents did, what your grandfather did, what the previous kings did, and see what he did. He was... chapter 33, Manasseh, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. According to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, he rebuilt the high places which Ezekiah the father had broken down. He raised up altars for Baals. Verse 5, he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Imagine, he brings idols and brings them right into the temple. Verse 6, he also caused his sons to pass through fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, witchcraft. Terrible. This is a terrible thing. He would have heard about all this. But then there's something that happened. Chapter 33, verse 11. The Bible says, therefore the Lord put upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. And the Bible says, now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him and he received his entreaty. God heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem into the kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that he was the Lord. This child, Josiah, would have been very small, you know. He wouldn't have understood all this. But as he grew, as he became, you know, 10 years old, 12 years old, I think he would have understood these things. And then, how did he become king at 8? You know how he became king at 8? Because his father was assassinated by his servants. So, he must have asked the question, why is it I am a king at such an early age? Why is it? Because my father was killed suddenly. He reigned only for 2 years. And this child was just 8 years old. And kingship was laid upon him. You know, God has plans for us. Things that happen around us, they are not accident. They are not accident. God is sovereign. God allows things to happen around us. And God places us in positions of responsibility, authority. Some he gives at very early age. Some he gives at a very early age. Some even when they are old, they don't take responsibility. Some even when they are old. 45 years old, the father, grandfather has to come and fold the bed sheet. Irresponsible, no, you know. But you know, even at an early age, I believe God will give you more responsibility when you take on more responsibility. This is a principle, this is a rule. This is a rule. And God will thrust responsibility. Why at age 8? Why did he become a king at age 8? God saw that he was to be the king. God saw potential in this little child. God is seeing potential in little children. You know, I'm speaking to the whole church, young and old, even little children. Even at this age, when you take on responsibility, God will shower you with more responsibility and the enablement to be and do what he has entrusted to you. Okay, the Bible says in verse 3, 4 and 5, In the eighth year. So how old must he be? 16. How? 8 plus 8 is 16. Eighth year of his reign. Eighth year. Okay. Eighth year. And it also says in the 12th year. What will he be in this 12th year? 20. So at age 16 and at age 20, the Bible says, in the 8th year, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he purged Judah, began to purge Judah and Jerusalem on the high places and the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images. It goes on to say the things that he started doing at that age. At a very early age. How did all these things come into the temple? How did the idols come into the temple? How did the heathen practices come into Jerusalem? These were people that the Lord redeemed. These were people that the Lord gave the commandments. These were people that, you know, God gave such a glorious visitation in Mount Sinai. Glorious journey through the wilderness and into the promised land. How did these idols come into Israel, into Judah? You know, these people were constantly looking at the outsiders. They were constantly looking at other kings. In fact, even the king, they looked at the people around and said, all the nations are having kings, so please give us also a king. God granted that request. And throughout their life of faith, throughout their journey, they were constantly looking at the people around. The people around, and then they say, let us also be like them. Actually, we are in a situation like that. America has the maximum number of Christians. Then we have Brazil, and then we have Mexico. India is probably right below. Around us, we don't have believing company. We are people who are idol worshippers. We are people who are following cultures. People who are following traditions of this land. If a cat passes the road, the person will go back home, and then only he'll go out. And there are people who will wait for a particular time, 11:30 in the morning, then only you should open the office, you know, functions, auspicious times. We're living in a place of culture which is related to deities and demons, actually. And without realizing it, we look around and start following all that. These people did the same thing. They looked at all the idols. You know, let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 22-23. See, this is the king. His name is Ahaz. In the time of distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because the gods of the king of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. Can you see the point? This is the enemy who has won a victory. And he looks at the enemy. Enemy is offered something to the idols. And he's saying, let me also do that. Maybe that God will help me. And Bible says, verse 24, Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut it in pieces, cut the articles of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of God, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. We look around, see what the people do, see that they are prospering because, I don't know why, but you know, we think that they are prospering because of the way they are, ways they are following, especially in terms of, see, we are in a very religious country. All around there is religiosity. Religiosity is very high. Very high. And we look at them and think that because they are doing this, it is good, and they are doing well, and we follow that. Pagan practices. I know we lived in Mandavli, and there used to be an elephant going that side. And, you know, in this family, the grandmother thought elephant's blessing is good. Take the child and get the elephant's blessing. This is a culture. This is a culture. But the demon, there's a demon. It's called the elephant god. We don't want those blessings. We don't want those blessings. You know, we need to know what the heathens are doing. So this man, amazing. You know, we just saw this. He went around destroying the heathen shrines and idols, not only in Jerusalem, but he also went around destroying in the other places. You know, if you understand history of Israel and Judah, he was our this king. Josiah reigned between 640 and 609. By 722 BC, Israel had already been taken captive. There's no more kingdom of Israel. There's only the kingdom of Judah. So a kingdom of Judah, he's cleansed everything inside his kingdom, and now he goes on to Samaria. He goes on to the northern kingdoms. He goes on to cleanse those places also. God will give us opportunities to witness not only in our area, not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, but also in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Hallelujah. That's the theme for King and Kids Camp. Be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. Not only in Jerusalem, not only in Judea, in Samaria, in the utmost parts of this world. So this king, he cleansed not only his kingdom. He realized that there is no king in the kingdom of Israel that was a kingdom earlier. And he went on to press on and cleanse those places also. We're looking at, what happened in the life of Josiah. And some of the things that happened in his life will happen in our lives. Like I said, it's again our conviction. Our conviction will decide the path and the journey of life that we take. Our convictions will lead us into events that will happen in our life. And here is a man who sought after the Lord. Here is a man who went around destroying the things of evil, idols and things that were not pleasing to God. And God was pleased with him. I'm telling you, if we take this conviction, if we take this stand, the Lord will be pleased. And that will lead us into the paths of righteousness. He says, I will lead you in paths of righteousness. He'll lead you in still waters. And that will depend on our conviction, saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd and I will follow him. It doesn't matter if it's the valley of shadow of death. I know that his staff and his rod comfort me. They lead me. And I will still follow him. You're not fair weather Christians. Fair weather Christians are like those kings who followed the Lord when everything was fine. And when they got proud, they disowned the Lord. Now in the 18th year, how old is Josiah in the 18th year of his reign? 26. 8 plus 18, 26. Alright. So what happened in the 18th year? The Bible says he went on to repair the house of the Lord. That whole chapter, chapter 34, explains that this man took time to go and repair. 26 years old. We talked of 8, we talked of 16. We talked of 20 and now we're talking of 26. I want to, this is actually the formative age. A lot of things actually happen in this age. Up to 8, all the training that you have to impart for your children, up to 8. And after that, they will follow that. They'll actually follow that. A lot of people come at 16 and 17 saying, oh, my daughter has run away with this boy. Oh, my boy is doing this. Oh, my boy is too late. If you're not imbibed values into your children before 8, very difficult, very difficult. God's grace and mercy is the only thing that will bring older people into the kingdom. Actually, that's the truth. And I can say that more and more and more. And that's why, we're so happy to minister to kingdom kids. It's easier to set the train on the rail than to bring a derailed train back on the rail track. True. It's true. And this won't happen. I mean, Josiah's life is so true. And this child, when he was 26, he goes on to repair the things in the temple of God. Just imagine, last week we saw Solomon's temple. Glorious temple. 3,750 tons of gold were used to build that temple. 200 truckloads of gold, literally, put into building this temple. And that temple, the Bible says, is in repairs. In fact, a lot of people, they've not even gone in there. They had to open the doors. They had to go and, they had to use masons and craftsmen, builders, So much of work, if you read that chapter, so much of work had to go into repairing the temple. Actually, in Hezekiah's time, he did something like this. And in his time, he had to take out the filth that had gathered inside the temple to throw them out. So bad. The glorious Solomon's temple had become so bad. So bad. He took time to repair the temple. And when he took time to repair the temple, he found something very special. Chapter 34, verse 14. He says, he found a book. A book that was the Word of God. He found a book. Just imagine, the Word of God had completely lost its place. Where should the book be? Where you can read it. Just imagine if the Bible, it's here on the pulpit now, it's here on my table, it's in a place where I can take and read every day, through the day. Instead of that, you know, behind Fido's a dog, you know, somewhere there, if you go and leave it, what sort of respect we have given to this word. But that's what happened. The people had given no respect. The Word of God was lying somewhere. And when they went to repair, and when they were going around repairing the temple of God, they found the Word of God. Actually, there's a principle here. We saw last week that our body is the temple of the living God. Yes, we have the temple, which is the church, which is the body of Christ. But our body is also the temple of the living God. The more we cleanse it, more we repair it, more we, you know, purge away all the dross and uncleanness, the Word of God will come alive. The Word of God will come alive. For a lot of people, the Word of God has no attraction. I had a friend who would read the Word only on exam days. Nice Bible his father had given him. Right on the table, he'll keep it. Nice and dusted, it'll be. But on the exam day, before reading the books, he'll take and read some verses from them. He searched. He searched and searched, and he found the Word of God. You know, this is very significant, because this is the culture, this is the situation that the kingdom had gone into. That's how bad. In another 20, 25 years, this kingdom also would be taken captive. So this is towards the end, really the end. God was speaking to these people, trying to turn them away, turn them towards himself. But the people were constantly going astray. And I'm telling you, we are living in the end times. Right now, the time that we are living in is the end times. And all around us, there is pressure. And it comes in very, very crafty ways to just lead us away. Lead us away. I've been in the corporate. Enough work, more work, lot of work. And not only that, they will give you honor and, you know, more and more laurels. So you'll end up working 7 days a week, literally. Unless we follow our convictions based on God's word, we will not be able to fight against the tide of the world in the current and in the future. The pastor of the church, I need to say that. I need to caution you. I need to warn you, saying, look, be careful. The ways of the world will be contrary. It will draw us away. But if we have a place for the Word of God in our heart, if we are constantly cleansing this body, which is a temple of God, repairing it, maintenance. Yesterday, some people had come to the farm. And they said, the farm is looking so nice. The people who had come before. And as they were going, they said, you need to do a lot of work, a lot of maintenance. I said, yes, we have to do a lot of maintenance. Grass has to be constantly cut, trees have to be pruned, and so much of work, so much of work. Our body also needs repairs constantly. Constantly we need for upkeep, we need to maintain. But the Lord gives us enough grace for that. God gives us. But He gives us more grace. But He gives us more grace. Thank God for His grace. And you know, when they found this Bible, I want us to look at this. Chapter 34, verse 19. See what Hezekiah does. Josiah does. Chapter 34, verse 19. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law. You know, they found the book, they went and read it, and they went and read it in public, and the king is listening to the words of the law, and it says, when he heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Tore his clothes. Why did he tear his clothes? Tearing clothes is a symbol of giving up. Giving up means, oh, this terrible thing has happened, it's irreparable, I can't do anything about it, it's so bad. So when he heard the word of God, he realized that, look, this is what God's word is saying and we're not even following it. We've not even heard about it. God's word to draw himself, us to himself. And the people were going astray. They were disobeying God's word. They were following idols. They were following the ways of the world. They were living in sin, literally. And when he heard this, he said, my God. And not only that, the word of God would also say, if you did this, judgment will follow, enemies will come, and I will give you over to the enemies. All this was said there, and he heard that, and he tore his clothes. That was his response. I don't know what our response is when we read God's word. A lot of people read God's word lying down. Now we have phones, no? You don't even have to take the Bible. Look at the phone and read God's word lying down. And half the time we sleep off. Suddenly the phone is somewhere else. But if it's a match, we'll sit upright, look like that, you know, for 45 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours. What, how exciting it is. You know, God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Reaching to the division of the soul and the spirit. If God's word is working in our life, it should prick us to the innermost. It should say, hey, this is rotten. What is it? You're listening to the world, whole day, and then you're coming and living a life like the heathen. We should tear our clothes. A lot of people will do that because we can go and sales are on, we'll get good clothes. But a tearing of a clothes is a sign of repentance. Sign of repentance. And that's what, you know, when this happened, he tore his clothes and he sends the priest saying, go and inquire of the Lord what should be done. What should we do to restore the situation? We have failed. We have followed the ways of this world and the culture. We need to come back to the Lord. What should we do? How shall we come back to the Lord? He sends the people. There's a prophetess by the name Huldah. Huldah. Thank God, you know, if we read the book of Kings, throughout God has one voice who would be able to speak in the time of crisis, saying, this is God's word. And in Josiah's time, there was this lady, Huldah, and she was living in a prominent place. These people go there and say, this is a book that we found, and this is what the book says, but we have not lived like this. They go and, you know, go to meet that lady, the prophetess. And you know what the prophetess says? You know, God sees what you do in your closet. That's the important factor. God sees how you pray in your closet. All the public prayers, only people see. God will listen, you know. But you can't make public prayers if you don't have a private closet, prayer life. This man sends his priest to the prophetess and see what she says. Chapter 34, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before God. When you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I have also heard you, says the Lord. This is God. Nobody went and told the prophetess how this man prayed. But God heard it. And when emissaries, when the people went to meet the prophetess, God spoke to the prophetess, hey, this man repented. He cried out like this. I've heard his prayer. I've heard his prayer. You know, in times of crisis, If we don't spend hours in the prayer closet, we'll be completely lost. Completely lost. And God is showing us. God is convicting. And when He convicts us, if we don't turn, our hearts will become hard. Hearts will become hard. And we'll follow just the tradition. I'm telling you, India is a land of religion. Faith will break religion. Sometimes it's hard. We need to break religiosity and come out of that and be people of faith. People of faith. And the Lord said, I've heard His prayer. I've heard His prayer. You know, the previous verse, He says, judgment. He talks about judgment. Verse 24. This lady, Huldah, prophetess, she answered them, thus says the Lord of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the Lord, the king of Judah, because you have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods. He says, therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But you know, the prophetess also says, verse 28, surely I will gather you to your fathers. He's telling Josiah, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I bring on this place and on its inhabitants. But you know, when the same thing is said to Hezekiah's time, Isaiah was a prophet. Hezekiah goes and shows all the treasures in his land to that enemy king, messengers from Babylon. Hezekiah comes and says, what did you do? What did you show? Hezekiah says, I showed all the treasures, everything in this house I showed them. Isaiah said, you have done very wrong. A time will come when those people will come and take you captive. And he said, it may not happen in your time, but it will happen in the days of your sons. And you know what Hezekiah said? He said, thank God it didn't happen. It won't happen in my time. It won't happen in my time. See what Josiah does. Josiah, he also heard. But you know what he does? The next chapter goes on to say all the reforms that he does. He goes on to say, hey, this is going to happen. Let us turn to the Lord and see if this will stop. 26 years he did this. 26 years. And he went on to say, Lord, I will not. Every place he went, you know, tried to clear up the altars, cut the Asherah poles, break the idols, clean up the place. And when he was doing this, he goes north to this place called Bethel. And there he's breaking that altar. And as he's breaking that altar, he looks at a tomb and asks those people, whose tomb is that? And you know what the people say? That is the tomb of the man of God. In 1 Kings chapter 13, prophesied that a man by the name called King Josiah will come after a time and break these idols and burn the ashes, burn the bones of those prophets and those priests on this altar. And that happened. And as it was happening, he heard the prophecy. Fulfillment of prophecy. I see that. You know, that's a great thing. You know, he could have stayed there. He, like Ezekiel, he could have said, okay, it's not going to happen in my time. It's going to happen in the grandchildren's time. In my time, everything is good. Thank God. No. When he heard the word of God, he repented. He went around doing the things that he has to do. I'm again saying, if we are going with the culture, if we are going with the times, and saying, in our time, God, thank you. Times are going to be even worse than it is now. But if you turn to God, if you turn to God, prophecy will be fulfilled in our time. Hallelujah. That's what happened. I mean, if he had just stayed back, nothing would have happened. He went around continuing to destroy those altars, and he came to that place in Bethel. Bethel is in Samaria. It's not in Judah. Bethel was in the northern kingdom. It was in Israel. He could have said, my kingdom, my domain, I'll be here. No. He went to the other parts also, clearing up, being witnesses there also. And as he was doing that, the Lord, the prophecy was fulfilled. Fulfilled. You know, a lot of things God has in store for us. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for a future and a hope. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Specific word prophecies that God has given in our lives. If you want to see these fulfilled, we can't run our own lives. A lot of people want to run their own world and put God in that mold. You know, I will run my own world, Lord. You come and fulfill all these things in this, within these bounds. No. God won't do that. God won't do that. There are certain norms you have to follow. There are certain principles we have to follow. We have to follow in line with what God has in store. And when we do that, God will make prophecy fulfilled in our lives. His prophecy will come, happen, will happen, will happen. Many people are waiting. Oh, it has not happened. I heard this. It has not happened. That's why I say our convictions will take us into the path, into the journey that God has for us. Our conviction based on God's word. This man heard God's word. He believed God's word. He said, oh, this is what is written. Let me do what I can in my time. And he went about doing it. And prophecy was fulfilled in his time. The Bible says that God has made us a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom of priests. He calls us a royal priesthood. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness. We are not ordinary people. I again say, you know, don't look at yourself as an ordinary person. Don't look at yourself as somebody supernatural and become proud. But look at yourself as God's holy possession, as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests whom God has prepared. A kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. And you look at yourself like that, things around will change. Things around will change. What is the use of working 60 years and getting, you know, retirement, living another 30 years? Even the Hindu, others do that. They also go to work, they also come back, get pension, live till some age and die. No use. God has made you a kingdom of priests to show forth His praises. That is what He has called us for. And He will do that if we turn like Josiah. Turn from our custom, the customs of this world, the culture of this world, the sinful nature of this world. Let us lay aside. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses, and Josiah is one cloud, it's a great cloud. Let us lay aside every sin and weight that so easily clings to us. I'm telling you, a lot of things will cling to you. Because we are in this world, we are meeting with the people in this world, their things will try to cling to us. And when they cling to us, they'll put a weight on us and it will drag us. We need to know when that happens. We need to push it off. Excuse me. Lay aside every weight and run this faith, run this life of faith, journey of faith with patience. And when we do that, God will take us to the destinations that He has for us. God will take you to, as a prized possession into this land, not as an ordinary being, but as a king, as a princely person, as a stately person with authority. People respect you. And they will know that out of you is flowing the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness. I want us to believe this. I want us to believe this. I'm very hard sometimes. But I've learned that it's better to be hard than not to say anything. Not to say anything. A lot of people say he talks like that, he does this, he does that. I'd rather see people either changed, or if they don't change, I finish saying, it's up to them. God will ask me. He will not ask me if I've said what I have to say. But if you're silent, that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. God wants us to be powerful witnesses, loud witnesses, witnesses which will show forth His praises. And this man, I want you to just see the journey. Young boy, 8 years old, suddenly a kingdom is thrust on him. Suddenly responsibility, huge responsibility. He takes it. He looks at his past. He looks at the parents, grandpa, grandfather. He sees the things that were not right. And he says, not father, not grandfather, not even great-great-great-great-grandfather. No, my ancestor David. I will walk in the ways of God like David. And he took that decision. Age 16, he sought the Lord. He started seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord in the days of your youth. Seek the Lord in the days of the youth. Seek Him while He may be found. That's for us old people. You know, if you miss the days of the youth, also okay. Seek Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He may be found. And He will find you. Seek Him, He will find you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened. Age 20. He realizes that he has to do something. He starts doing the reforms. Age 26, he starts cleaning up the temple. And then, there is this thing called the Passover. The Passover, age 26. The Bible says, in that year, he celebrated the Passover. And the Bible says, the Passover that he celebrated was the greatest. No king in Israel had celebrated the Passover. Can you just imagine? All those years, from the beginning, the first king, Jeroboam, all those years till 722 BC, not a single time Passover was observed in Israel. Now he becomes the king in Judah, age 26. He says, not only people in Judah, all those people who are there, still there, people have gone into exile. But those people are still remaining there. All of you come. Come to Jerusalem. We will celebrate the Passover. And Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Many people take the communion very lightly. And that's why I say, even if you miss other Sundays, please don't miss first Sunday. It's a communion Sunday. And now we've started communion on the first day of the week also. First day of the month, sorry. Covenant. Celebrating that covenant. God was very pleased with this man. God was very pleased with Joseph. 31 years, from age 8 to 31. But before I close, I want to say there is one mistake that this man did. It's only one mistake. Not a single war all the years of his reign, there was not a single war. And then there is this man, the king of Egypt, Necho, Pharaoh. He's going to fight the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the people outside. He's not coming to fight Josiah. But you know what Josiah does? He takes his horse, he takes his army, he goes to fight him. And Pharaoh Necho, he says, hey, I'm not coming to fight you. I'm not coming to fight you. I'm going further north. That is my enemy. But Josiah doesn't give up. He says, no, no, no. He goes and fights him. We need to choose our battles. Josiah goes and fights him. And he dies in battle. There's a great lament. Jeremiah comes and laments. The whole prophet Josiah comes and laments. What's the use? One small mistake. That's a fatal mistake. We need to choose our battles. Battles that are not ours, don't go and put your head in it. There are some battles that you have to fight. When you have to fight, don't go and sit inside. Fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. But this was a battle that was not his. It was not his. I like this verse in Jude. There's only one chapter. Verse 20, it says, build yourself in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, in life there are certain decisions that we take, and we take it because we operate in the rational. We operate out of our intelligence. We operate out of our knowledge of what is seen. Faith is the substance of things unseen and the evidence of things hoped for. What you see and what you know and your intelligence and your experience. This man thought, 31 years I've been reigning, I've not fought a single battle. Here is a man coming all the way from Egypt, coming up north. Let me go and fight. He must have thought, all these years I've lived well, God has blessed me. That was not a battle. That's why he said, build yourself in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. There are many times when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it will overrule your mind. It will overrule the rational thinking. It will help you know the plans of God and keep out of trouble. Keep out of trouble. I'm saying it over experience. What experiences? I've gotten in trouble. Going, fighting the wrong battles. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, suddenly there'll be a calmness saying, don't go. So many meetings have not gone. Many places have not gone. And avoided unnecessary encounters. Unnecessary meeting with people also. People will come with problems. In our life it won't be, you know, Nico, Pharaoh coming with this, you know, chariot. No. Our problems are people. Our problems are situations. Our problems are circumstances. And God will make you know. Paul was traveling. He was going to catch a ship. He was going to catch a ship to go back to Jerusalem. But you know what? He is a man who prayed in the Spirit. And he knew, he found that they were going to kill him in the ship. He cancelled his journey and went back. He retraced the third missionary journey. He retraced his steps back into Macedonia, back into Troas, back into Asia, and went to Jerusalem. And you pray in the Holy Spirit. You build yourself in the most holy faith. You know, this journey God has for you, He will give you the clarity. He give you the clarity. I'm saying this, you know, you do that. I'm so glad Lynn started saying, you know, started this worship saying, let's sing a new song. New song, just sing. And sing in the Spirit. Speak in tongues. It's the language of the Spirit. And God will give us insight. I'm not saying God showed every plan. It just happens that, you know, I will say, oh, I'm not going. Or suddenly I say, no, I must go. And there will be the person who will lead you to the next step. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all things. But this man, he went, he fought, and he lost. The meaning of the word Josiah is Yoshia. The Lord supports, the Lord saves, and the Lord heals. We are living in a time like it was in the time of Josiah. But we have our Lord Jesus who supports. He's a Savior and He heals. Whatever has happened in the past, it just doesn't matter. The point is we have to be able to drop our past and start afresh. And when we do that, Jesus, He will support, He will save, and He'll heal the past and give us a fresh start. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the life of this young man, Lord. From age 8 till age 37. Short life. What a powerful life, Lord. Most difficult environment, surroundings, face in history. But Lord, He overcame them all with the strength of the Lord. And with the power of the Lord. Master, He broke down enemy bastions. He broke down altars and all the demonic influence in it. Not only in Judah, but also Israel. And He established the covenant. He established the Passover. Lord, today we want to commit and dedicate ourselves. If you want to commit yourself, I want you to pray this prayer and say, Lord, I want to start afresh. I want to drop my past. I want you to be Josiah in my life, the one who will support, the one who will heal, the one who will save you from calamity. Lord, I dedicate myself. I rededicate myself today. Thank you. Josiah tore his garment, rent his heart. The Lord heard and appreciated it. Father in heaven, come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Master, we're living in a very difficult time. We pray, Lord, that we will have this strength, Father God. Like Josiah, Father, Master, immaterial of our age and Master, presence before greater people. Father, we want to be your voice in this time. Like Josiah, Father God, help us to fight and cleanse our body and the church to bring glory and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand?